This morning we'll continue on our journey through the book of Proverbs. Again, this is a book of your life. It's how you react. It's how you should react. It's how maybe you will react, but you shouldn't react. It tells you all the do's and don'ts and the intricacies of our life. And you'd have to go back to the beginning and get the whole thing to hear everything. And I'm not going to try to preach everything this morning. I'm just going to do chapter 15. Just add another course, a block to the building. That's all. And I'll begin by reading the chapter first. A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools pours out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he that regards reproof is prudent. In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish does not so. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loves him that follows after righteousness. Correction is grievous to him that forsakes the way, and he that hates reproof shall die. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more then the hearts of the children of men? A scorner loves not one that reproves him, neither will he go into the wise. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. The heart of him that has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart has a continual feast. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeases strife. The way of the slothful man is a hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. A wise son makes glad his father, but a foolish man despises his mother. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walks uprightly. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors they are established. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. The Lord has destroyed the house of the proud, but he will establish the border of the widow. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. He that is greedy of gain troubles his own house, but he that hates gifts shall live. The heart of the righteous studies to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and a good report makes the bones fat. The ear that hears the reproof of life abides among the wise. He that refuses instruction despises his own soul, but he that hears reproof gets understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Let's go back and break this all down. In the first verse, a soft answer turns away wrath. Now let me say what it should say. A gentle response or reply turns away rage or anger. Okay? A gentle response. Now see, it's not just saying an answer. But the word answer doesn't give me the full meaning of what it is. It's a response. When someone says something to you and you respond to it, if you respond with a gentle answer, it can turn away that anger and wrath that someone else was wanting to dump on you. See? If you take a person, set them in the middle of this room, by themselves, they have a hard time getting rid of their anger and wrath. But if you'll say something antagonistic to them, guess what? They can fight. And when you fight with them, all you do is release the anger that they wanted to release. You give them the way to do it. See? And, you know, my saying that you should never argue with a fool, because that just makes the proof that there's two in the world. See? Don't argue with fools. If they want to be crazy about it, let them be. But don't argue with them. You're enabling them.
To be a whipping post?
Absolutely. You're putting yourself right there.
It's hard to do.
But you have to.
We're learning it.
It's something you have to learn, yeah? But grievous words or hurtful or offensive words stir up anger. I mean, every day someone could say something to you, you could be hurtful and offensive to them, couldn't you? Mm-hmm. Every day. But if you choose to do that, you're going to be right in the midst of the battle every day. Just war all the time. But if you have a gentle response or reply to those that say those bad things, it'll go away. And they'll get tired of throwing them at you when you don't respond. It's like, would you play catch with these nasty things I'm going to throw at you? Throw it back at me. Get me going. Let's get it really going good. But if they keep throwing it to you and you just let it hit your chest and fall on the floor, they're going to say, they don't want to play. They don't want to play. I'll find somebody else to play. They won't play with me. Don't play their games. Don't let them drag you into that game. They'll quit insulting you because it don't do any good. See, if there's no response that they like, and they like that negative response coming back at them, because then they can get into that war. If you don't give them anything to fight with, it gets boring and they'll quit. They'll give up on you.
Same thing as trying to find your goat.
They'll try to find where your goat's tied. Don't let them know. Okay, verse 2. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge aright, not uses, but makes knowledge acceptable. That's what it should say. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge usable or acceptable. It should be acceptable. So if a person's wise, they will figure out a way to communicate that knowledge to someone where they can accept it. Because the way you present something to someone makes a big difference whether they accept it or not. Right? Mm-hmm. It's all about the way you present it.
Like gentleness. That's another way. It's usefulness. Making it useful.
It'll make it useful because it's not threatening to them. When it's threatening to them, they just don't like to receive it. But the mouth of the stupid and arrogant pours out foolishness. That word fool, if you look up that word, it means stupid and arrogant. So stupid, arrogant people, and you know, the King James Bible tries to make things sugar-coated all the time. Just say what it is. We all know what stupid is, don't we?
You can't fix it.
You can't fix stupid. It goes right to the grave with you. Ignorance can be fixed with a little bit of information. Okay, but the mouth of the stupid and arrogant pour out foolishness. Verse 3 goes on and says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, they're everywhere, beholding or observing the evil and the good. Now, why would God's eyes be observing evil and good?
Because he's in you.
Beg pardon?
He's in you. It's all in one place.
It's all in one place. It's within us. He's seeing everything we do. But there's a necessity for him to see both sides. Because he understands what most people don't understand is that the good and the evil is what makes up that tree that is necessary for us to learn. Mm-hmm. We won't learn without experience, will we? Mm-hmm. So we have to have that experience to make us grow. That opposition. Verse 4. A wholesome or a healing, the word wholesome should be a healing tongue, is not a tree but the tree of life. See, a healing tongue. Someone who speaks to people not negatively, but always positively, trying to encourage everybody. And you know, there's people we know, we all know them, that are just negative every breath out of their mouth. When people do that, I always come back with something, no matter what they're saying, and try to bring a positive side to it. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to take them out of that negative realm. We were just talking with our daughter this week, and she said in her shop, in her beauty shop, said, I think I'm going to put a sign on the door and say, if you come in and talk anything negative, you have to leave. Because everybody's complaining. Everybody's murmuring. And she said, by the end of the day, I just feel like I'm crushed with all this weight of negativity. I said, no kidding. Yeah. And the only one that can change it is you in your mind. But she's sensing it very much. It says the healing tongue is the tree of life, but perverseness therein. What's the therein mean? It's talking about that tongue. But perverseness therein, in that tongue, which is the healing tongue, but perverseness in that tongue is what? It crushes the spirit. I should say the word breach means crushes. It crushes the spirit. If you go negative to somebody and start down on them all the time, what's it do to the person? Just like our daughter said, it just feels like she's got weights on her, just pulling her down, listening to people complain all day long while she's cutting their hair and fixing their hair.
So you withdraw.
Sure. You don't even want to be involved in the conversations. You just get away from it because it's so negative. It's like that all over the world, isn't it? And the only one that can change it is you. In your world, you're the only one that controls what goes on in your life. You can be happy and contented with life, or you can be negative and bitter all you want to, can't you?
Constantly poking and cutting people down.
You can do it if you want to, but I don't like...
It gets old.
I don't like the fruit of that one.
It gets old.
Sure does. Sure gets old.
Maybe she's put in that spot because they needed somebody to talk to get it off, so they didn't.
Yep. And I don't think she really has the ability to talk a whole lot to them right now, but she sees it's very negative and it hurts. Yeah. And she's had her share of negative. I laugh at that one.
It makes her have a hard time enjoying her day.
Sure it does. Makes her day a lot harder and a lot longer.
Yeah.
So she should learn that about her life all over, shouldn't she? A fool despises his father's instruction. Literally, it should be discipline. A fool despises his father's discipline, but he that regards reproof or correction is wise. Now, what's another good word for that? Huh?
Prudent.
Well, the word prudent means wise, or in this sense, it's really talking about common sense. He that regards or recognizes that correction is necessary has a little bit of common sense. The book says the reverence of God is the beginning of wisdom. To know that God is right and you're wrong, that's the beginning of wisdom. That's a little bit of common sense, isn't it? In the house of the righteous or the just is abundant wealth, but the income or the produce of the wicked is trouble. Okay. Whatever the people who are living the right kind of life, that are doing what they're told, doing whatever God wants them to do, in their life they have a treasure. We're not talking about gold and silver and money and diamonds and jewels. We're talking about peace. There's the wealth. The presence of the Spirit of God in your life to where you can live your life out of that turmoil. There's the true riches of the kingdom of God. But in the produce or income of the wicked, there's nothing but trouble. They can pile up billions of dollars or trillions of dollars. They're all talking billions and trillions now in the world, but they still got trouble. Like the man in Germany who had $12 billion. He lost $3 billion to that Bernie Madoff in New York on that scam he was doing. He lost $3 billion and he committed suicide. He only had $9 billion. How could he have survived? I mean, he got so down on the dumps because he lost $3 billion, he put a gun to his head and killed himself.
That's the wrong head.
Huh? Yeah, it's the wrong head. You're right.
They're never content.
They're never content, never enough. And he lost 25% of his income, of his wealth, and it was enough to commit suicide over.
Sometimes it's not the wealth, it's letting that other person
scam you. It was an embarrassment and everything, and he killed himself over it. And I mean, that's insanity. I've wondered why that judge is letting him walk around. Maybe it's so they want to take him to court and somebody will just pop him already, you know, I don't know. But or else he bought the judge. One of the twos has to be right.
That's kind of weird. We lived that one last verse quite a bit. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to sit back and think, you know, but when you really think about it, it's like the harder person tries to hurt us, it just seems like it always gets better and better for us.
It just bounces back at them, don't it?
Shoot himself in the foot.
Absolutely. Back at them. Like people, I've had people try to curse me, and I curse you, and I said, well, first of all, I don't believe in your curses, so if you believe in them, I'll just send them double back to you. How's that? You believe in them, so you play with them. I don't believe in your curses. God's not into cursing, so I'm not involved in it. God doesn't curse anybody. They curse themselves. Verse 7, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart, no, the mind. Realize it's the mind of the stupid does not so. Why? Well, that's common sense to figure that one out. If they're stupid, they don't have any common sense, do they? That's a real easy one. Okay, verse 8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. Literally, it's disgusting to the Lord. The word should be, the sacrifice of the wicked is disgusting to the Lord, but the prayer or the communication of the just is His delight. Do you think God wants to talk to somebody who wants to talk about worldly crap all the time?
No.
He wants to talk to somebody who wants to know what He's all about. He's trying to give us the thing that'll give us truly give us life, and most people don't want to discuss it, do they?
Yeah, in a relationship, you want to talk relationship.
Yeah.
You want to talk to the external.
That's right. Don't worry about those things out there. They'll take care of themselves. If you get yourself right with God, what else do you got to worry about?
Nothing.
Nothing. It'll take care of itself. Verse 9. The way or the course of life of the wicked is disgusting to the Lord, but He loves him that follows after righteousness. Now see, that kind of says that God don't love those people, and that's not true.
Yeah.
See, it kind of leads you to believe that it's disgusting to Him. Didn't say He didn't like them, does it? And see, the way it's worded makes you think, if you don't listen to what He says, God loves everybody. We're all His children. Some are obedient, some are disobedient. The disobedient ones, they are disgusting to Him, the way they're living their life. But they're still His children.
You can be disappointed or disgusted in something, but
yeah.
Like,
well, He's not disappointed because He put us there, but He can be disgusted with the stuff that they're producing. Yes. Absolutely. So I want you to realize he doesn't say He hates anybody. He just says He loves the ones that follow after righteousness. But the rest of it, their ways are disgusting to Him.
Yeah, it's just disgusting with
their ways. Verse 10. Correction or discipline, should be discipline, is grievous or misery to him that forsakes the way, the ways of God. When you forsake the way of God, correction is grievous to you. Or misery, right? And he that hates discipline shall die. You know what? We're all going to die. We're not talking about that, are we? We can't have any life in us as long as we stay away from the words of truth, the words of life, can we? We can't have it. So the opposite of life is what?
Death.
We're either in the death or we're in life. Verse 11. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. Now, that word hell is not correct. It's Sheol. It's the grave. The grave and destruction are open, is what it should say, are open before the Lord. That means you can't cover anything up. You can't bury anything from God, can you? We think in our minds we can hide something from God. We can't. They're all open before Him. How much more then the minds, not the hearts, but the minds of the sons of Adam? Do you think there's a human being that God doesn't know about? You think there's a thought process in the mind of a human being that God doesn't know about? And that's what He's trying to tell us. We can't hide anything from God. He's already got it under control. Before we were ever created, He had the solution. He was the Lamb that was slain before the foundation or the conception of the world. So,
who told you?
Yeah. Yeah. Who told you were naked? Yeah. Oh, well. Okay, verse 12. A scorner or the arrogant love not one that corrects him. The arrogant loves not the one that corrects him. Duh. Arrogant people don't like to be corrected, do they? Neither will he go to the wise. So if arrogant people don't come to people that have the answer, they'll go to somebody who don't have the answer so they convince them that they are right.
So they tickle their ears.
Absolutely. The one that's arrogant will convince you that the arrogant one's right, and don't go to a wise person. Verse 13, a merry mind, instead of heart. Merry mind makes what? A happy face. A merry mind makes a happy face. We could preach that one, couldn't we? But by sorrow of the mind, not heart, but sorrow of the mind, the spirit is afflicted. When your mind is hurting, tell me what you look like.
Sad, dreary.
Looks pretty dreary, don't it? Pretty obvious when you're but a merry mind, a mind that's really happy, look at the countenance on their face. You can see it in people, can't you? You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. Verse 14, the mind of him that has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of the stupid feeds on foolishness. See? The mind of him that has some understanding, once you begin to get understanding, you can't get enough. Once you begin to understand it, you don't ever want to quit it. You want more. It's just that way. You just want more. And there's times, and let me say it this way, because I know there's condemnation in those words I just spoke, because I heard them. You want more, you want more. If once you get a little understanding, you want more. But there's times when God takes us to a point where we just slow down.
Well, you want more because you've understanding now that you don't have all the answers.
You don't have the answers that God does. Right. But I'm saying in that what I said, I could hear condemnation. Somebody would pick up on it and say, well, that's condemnation. Well, I could hear condemnation out of someone not hearing it. Again, it goes back to being able to convey your thoughts and make them hear where it's useful. God takes us to places, and it's patterned in the scriptures to show us the same thing, that a clean animal, a clean beast, goes and eats something, and then they go lay down and chew the cud, don't they? So there's times when I don't open this book up for days, but that doesn't mean something isn't going on in my head. You know, it's going on internally. I'm digesting, I'm regurgitating and digesting these thoughts that God has put in my head. I mean, that's going on all the time. Sometimes I'll be watching TV. I did it last night, something come in my mind, and I was watching the race last night, and I just got up and went to the office because something popped in my head to work on. You know, something just came in there. And that's all God wants us to do, is to be ready, to be available at any time He wants us, day or night, He can communicate with us. That's all it is.
Be on call.
You're on call, and it's not about beating yourself up. I got to be looking at that book every day, all day long, so many hours a day, or God's going to get upset with me. That's not the truth. The truth is, until I grasp what God gave me, He's not going to set another feast before me until I've eaten and partaken and assimilated into my understanding what He's already given me. So when something else comes along and I'm not ready, why would God waste the time? See, He's going to let me assimilate what He's given me before He gives me more. And the church world gives so much condemnation that you just got to do it. You got to drive. You got to push. Just get it all. And nobody's taking time to sit down and digest what they've assimilated into their body. So don't get in condemnation. And I say this for the people on this tape. Don't get in condemnation because you're not in the book every day. But your mind should be fixed upon those thoughts that He's given you and digest those things and assimilate them into your understanding. Then go get some more. When you get hungry, you know what you'll do? You'll find the kitchen. You'll find the table, won't you? So if God hasn't got the hunger craving on you, then go ahead and digest what you've got. When He's ready, He'll pull you back to the table.
Well, a lot of times in my job, I'm on call.
Mm-hmm.
Not to go out and try to do all I can. I can get in trouble for doing that. If I just keep going, I got to be on call. When they need me, they'll call me and I need to be ready.
That's right.
And then do what I need to do right then, there, now, so they can continue.
Mm-hmm.
If I just go ahead and try to keep going, I'm going to get...
Something messed up.
I'm going to get in trouble, yeah.
Something's going to get messed up. Absolutely.
You're saying if you're spending all your time thinking that you have to spend hours here.
You're not thinking.
Well,
you're not really thinking.
You're not going out getting the experience that you're reading about.
No.
So it doesn't really mean anything.
It's just memorization, you know. It doesn't mean anything. Absolutely. All the days of the... I want you to hear this one. All the days of the afflicted or the depressed are evil. But he that is of a good mind has a continual feast. Now, he didn't say the good never had any afflicted days. He never said he didn't have any evil days, but he says all the days of the ones that are afflicted or depressed are evil. Every day it's negative, 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 negative. But he that is of a good mind, the mind of Christ, has a continual feast. No matter what comes down the pike, it's okay. Because I know who's in control. And nothing's going to come against me that he hasn't prepared for me for. He says if he calls you in Romans 8, what's he do with you? He equips you. Well, then what have I got to complain about? Doesn't it also say in that book of Romans that if God is for you, who cares who's against you? Who really cares? I don't care. I know that the world is against me. And he said that the world hates you, but not because of you, but it's because of me in you. Isn't that what Jesus said? He said because of the Christ in you, that's why they hate you. It's okay. Yep. You're in good company when you're hated because of living the right life. You're in good company. Okay? Verse 16. Better is a little with the reverence of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. So I say it's better to have just a little bit and be happy where you're at and comfortable than having a whole bunch and be worried about it all the time. In my whole life, and I don't know why, but I mean, even as a young man, I always said I never want to be rich in the ways of the world. I don't want to be rich. Because I saw people that were rich. The kids that I went to school with when I was in school were the kids that were the ones we call with a silver spoon in their mouth. I really don't know of any of them that ever amounted to anything. They're most of them dead now. Drugs, alcohol, their brains are burnt up from drugs. They've been killed in automobile wrecks, suicides. I mean, all the people that had it really made.
So
what we thought in the world was having it made. In the worldly thinking I'm talking about, because that's where I was at. But the ones who had to struggle and to work for everything, they're the ones that are sitting on top of everything right now. And I see that in the natural. What's also in the spiritual? The ones that had it handed to them never amount to anything. But the ones who work and labor in the field, they're the ones with the reward. And they can sit under a tree and eat their bologna sandwich and be much better off than the guy in the palace with servants and dinner being served to you. Yeah, because afraid somebody's going to kill them. Living in that kind of fear, huh?
They weren't top temperance.
Yeah. But I didn't understand it. I didn't understand it back then why I didn't want to be wealthy. I said, I just want to be comfortable. That's all I'm looking for. I'm not after that highest realm like that.
They weren't taught to take the gifts that they were given and make something out of them.
No, they weren't.
They could have spread it so much farther.
Oh, they could have done a lot of good work if they had a... But if it was supposed to be, it would have been. And if that was in my life for me to learn something, that's okay. I've learned something. Verse 17. Better is a dinner of vegetables where love is than a fatted ox and hatred therewith. That's saying the same thing that was said in the verses just prior to that, in the last 15, 16, and 17. Okay?
If you didn't hear me that way, how about this way?
Yeah, say it two or three different times. He just said the same thing over and over there. It's better to have little than have a whole bunch and have the problems that go with it. And I've always said, like I said about this, not having a lot. If I have a lot, you have to set up and worry about it. Somebody taking it away from you. If you don't have anything, who's going to bother you? They will come and rob you. You don't have nothing. See? Nothing that they see as valuable. See? And they don't have to rob me. I'll give them whatever I got, you know. What I have, I give away freely. Okay, 18. A angry man stirs up quarrels, but he that is slow to anger pacifies what? Quarrels. See, a man that is slow to anger pacifies quarrels. So he's saying, if you're peaceful, what are you going to do to people around you?
Calm down.
You're going to calm the situation down. So you don't let them drag you in. You just don't let them drag you in. You stay calm. Verse 19. The lifestyle of the lazy man, and that word slothful means lazy, the lifestyle of the lazy man is a hedge of thorns, or it's a hedge of curses around him. He can't do anything because he's lazy. So what's that going to do to him? Everything's going to backfire. He's never going to accomplish anything because he's lazy.
Would it be, say it's a headache to him?
Sure it is. You can say it in a lot of different ways, but that's one of them. But the way or the lifestyle of the righteous or the just is made plain. Literally, that word made plain should be a highway. See, they're walking through the woods, but guess what? If you do it the right way, the lifestyle of the righteous makes his life like walking down the highway. Nice and smooth and level. See? At least it seems that way to the other people anyway. Verse 20. Because I've had a lot of people say, well, you and Lois never go through anything. Right?
Yeah.
And I said,
we go through it smoothly, right?
We just go through it smoothly. I mean, you go through it with an attitude. If your attitude's right, then it doesn't show and it doesn't give you a big upheaval and everybody in three counties heard you screaming and cussing because you didn't do it.
Well, it's like a sine wave. They're like this.
Yeah. We're flatliners.
They're flatlining.
We're flatlining. That's all. I'm not going to let anybody take my peace away from me. Jesus said, my peace I leave to you. My give to you. So no one's getting mine. You can get your own. Because he's got plenty for everybody, hasn't he? And don't have to take mine. You can't take mine. I have a lot of people try, but they can't take it. A wise son makes a glad father. So father's impressed if his son is wise, isn't he? He really likes that. He's proud of it. Well, God's no different. But a foolish or stupid Adamic man disesteems or disrespects his mother. That should go without saying. We should understand that. Shouldn't have to expound that much. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom. But a man of understanding lives justly or rightly. A man of understanding does it right. If you understand the truth, what will you do? Now, some people say, well, I know the truth, and they do something else. Do they really understand the truth if they don't do it?
No.
If I believe something is true, that's what I'll be. If I know the truth, that's what I'll live. Many people say, well, I know it's opposite of what I'm doing, so I got to have some idea what truth is. No, you don't know the truth. If you're connected into the Christ, knowing the truth, which is the truth, Christ, mm-hmm. You'll live it. If I think I'm a good person, how will I live my life? But if I think I'm a dirty, rotten, no good for nothing sinner, destined for hell, you tell me how I'm going to live.
Just like that.
Just exactly like I think. As a man thinks in his heart or in his mind, so is he.
Yeah.
See? And the church world convinces you that you're a dirty, rotten sinner and you need to be saved. So you get saved, they say, now you're just a dirty, rotten sinner saved by grace. You're still a sinner. Well, then what was the point of all that? See, people are not thinking. They're just following what somebody, they're playing follow the leader with somebody. And I encourage everybody to use your brain. And I know our Father, who is infinitely wise, did not give everybody a brain so that two or three people could control everything. He wants each one of us to control our own little part of earth that we live in called our body. He wants us to control this thing, see, not somebody else.
You could ask them, what are you trying to teach me with that? If they're telling me, you know, you're still a dirty, rotten sinner. So, I mean, what are you trying to say? What I do that for? It doesn't even make sense.
Makes no sense whatsoever. Just don't work. And I asked God many times, how come I can't understand why they do the things they do? And he said, you don't want to know. Because if you could understand it, you'd be just like them. And I said, time out. That's it. Don't want to know. That's enough of that. Don't want to understand them, just know that they are. Okay, verse 22, right? Mm-hmm. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. So it's saying, the Bible tells us several places that in the multitude of counselors there's wisdom. Along with this verse right here. You know, there's a time when we need to counsel with people. That doesn't mean that they will tell us what to do, but they'll give us input and now we've got to weigh it out and see what is right. Make our own judgments. Don't let somebody think for you. Don't let me think for you. You think it out. And I know God is not 10,000 different things. God doesn't say it 10,000 different ways. He tells you the truth. And he can convey it to you any way he wants to, but it's still the truth. He won't tell you north is the way to go and then tell someone else south is the way to go. It's totally opposite of what he's saying. He'll go one way. He said, I am the Lord, I am one. There is none but one. He's got one way of doing everything. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. So you can establish them by getting a good word from somebody. You hear it from God first, is what I would tell you. You get your direction from God, and then you counsel with a few people. And you don't tell them necessarily what God told you. You just listen. See, when you hear from a counselor, what do? You listen. Hear what the man's got to say. Don't tell him what God told you, because then he's going to try to turn it right back to you and tell you what God already told you. Have him tell you what God wants him to tell you. If it matches up, you know what to do with it. You know, if you get your witness. But you should be the first one. And don't disclose that to somebody that's going to give you counsel. Say, what do you think? What has God revealed to you to help me with? See, let the man tell you. If he don't match up, then you know you ain't supposed to listen to this one, right? If it's contrary to what you've already heard. And that's assuming that you heard from God in this. Because sometimes we can get the wrong direction too, can't we?
That's how psychiatrists and these tarot card readers make their money.
They talk to you and you tell them everything and they just tell you what you want to hear.
And they collect the money.
Sure, they just tell you what you want to hear because they ask you questions. Say, no. You tell me. Just like doctors, you go to a doctor, what's wrong with you? I said, you're the doctor. You want me to do your job, then you pay me what you're getting. You know, they don't like that. But I'm not in there for a popularity contest. If I'm in there to see a doctor, then you're the doctor. You tell me what's wrong with me. I can give you some symptoms, but you tell me what's wrong with me. You tell me what the way to fix it is.
See? That's why you pay them.
That's why you pay them. See, you're the boss. Doctors are not the boss. They're the hireling, aren't they? It's the way you should look at it. Verse 23, a man has joy by the response of his mouth. And a word spoken in due season, how good it is when you hear the word you need to hear.
Yeah. Confirmation.
That confirmation is wonderful when you hear it. Verse 24, the way of life is above, and that's not correct. Should say, the way of life leads upward, okay, to the wise, in order that he may, and cross out the word may, in order that he depart from below. Okay? And it should say it this way, from the grave below. That's what the language actually says. I'll read it again, verse 24. The way of life is above or leads upward to the wise in order that he depart from the grave below. Where are we? We're in a grave. We're in a grave here on this earth. We start in the grave and we come back to life. We're resurrected, aren't we? We're in a death realm, huh?
Right now I'm in the spirit realm.
Well, I understand that, but I'm saying we start down below. We start in the death realm and in the grave realm, and then this is the way of life leads upward to the wise. If we're wise enough to receive the instruction and correction from God, it leads us up out of the death realm into the life realm.
Spiral staircase leading up out of the deep dark.
Just a constant going up. Constant going up. I wasn't saying anybody was in the death realm in here. I didn't say that. I'm just saying we all start in the death realm and come back to life. Okay?
The question was, where are you at? Spiral.
Okay. Misunderstanding. We got that now. The Lord will what?
Destroy.
Literally tear down the house of the proud or the arrogant. But he will establish the border of the widow. Now, there's more here than you think there is. He will tear down the house of the arrogant and the proud. That's the Adamic natural side. Correct? But he will. Now notice, not you will. He will establish the border of the widow. And what is the widow? See, once your husband is dead, you're free to marry another, right? So all these people who are saying they're married to Christ, but they're still married to Adam because they've not got their mind right yet, guess what they are? They're adulterers. They're fornicators. They don't understand that they're trying to be married to two at the same time. It don't work.
Well, one's dead, and then that's
necromancy,
right?
It's necromancy, yep. That's what it's called. Yeah. But that's what it is. They're still having a relationship with the dead man. Adam's dead, isn't he? Yep. Didn't Jesus say, I am the last Adam? He was called the last Adam. So he's dead. We can't have a relationship with that natural flesh man. It's the spirit now. So, but he will, God will establish, you can say it, but God will establish the border of the widow, the one who has got rid of her Adam man, because he died, and now she's free to marry the spirit man Christ. Now she's a bride. And I can't remember the Old Testament verse was, don't call me...
Mara.
No, not Mara. It's something about Beulah. Where it says, you know, where she's married now. Don't call me this, but call me, because I'm married to him, but I can't think of it now. I don't want to get there. Get off in something I can't get into right now, because I'm not there. Just a verse I know is there. Okay, verse 26. The thoughts of the wicked are disgusting to the Lord. When you say a word abomination, you look at the word, it says disgusting. So it's disgusting to the Lord, but the words of the pure are delightful sayings. That's what it should say, are delightful sayings. He that is greedy of dishonest gain is what it should say, not just gain, but dishonest gain, troubles his own house. People that's always worried about making so much money and screwing somebody to get it, you know, cheating somebody out of it, they're troubling their own house. And what is their own house? Right in here. Okay? But he that hates bribes shall what? Nope. The word is R-E-V-I-V-E. Revive. See? If you hate bribes, you will revive. You will come out of the death realm to the life realm. Correct? And didn't he say he wanted us all to be revived? Replenish everything.
Be raised from the dead in the spirit.
If we're born again, we have to be revived, don't we? Okay, we're going to leave off at 28. The mind of the just ponders to respond, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Is that kind of like swift to hear and slow to speak? Think about what you say. Think about the repercussions of your words before you turn them loose. Because once they're loose, you cannot draw them back. I don't care how much you try, how many times you say, I'm sorry. Once those words come out of your mouth, they're out. And the hurt is done. The damage is done. Verse 29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the just. Now, the Lord is far from the wicked. Does that mean that they don't have God dwelling in them? No. He's just not connected. They're not connected with him yet.
Okay.
They're not in communion with God yet. God's in them, but they have no clue of it yet.
They're not communicating.
No. They're still walking dead. They're zombies. They're not connected with God yet. He's there. He's connected to them, but they don't know it. But it says, okay, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears with the intent to respond, that's the word shama, to the prayer of the just. So when we talk to him, see, it's not like saying, and the church world has so misunderstood this, they say, well, you know, all you got to do is ask God and he'll give it to you. That's a lie. Because there's billions of requests every day that are not fulfilled. True? People every day asking God for things that never comes to pass. Because they're asking for the wrong reason to heap upon their lust for some other reason. You ask him for a new Cadillac or a new BMW or a Mercedes or something, you probably ain't going to see that. And I'd pretty well say you can just forget that one. But for the right reason, he hears the prayer, or he would tend to respond to the prayer of the righteous or the just. When you get hooked up with God and listen to what he says, you learn what his desires and purposes are, you find his patterns through the scriptures, and you find what he wants out of you, and the way he thinks about something, how will you ask him for something? You'll ask it the way he wants it. When you ask for something that God wants himself, do you think it cannot be fulfilled? See, if my will becomes his will, then everything I request will be taken care of. Who was it said never a word fell to the ground?
Solomon.
Never a word fell to the ground? Come on. He was asking what he was supposed to do, wasn't he?
Well, he would probably, like you said, he was quick to hear and slow to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you're slower to speak, you don't speak a whole lot.
And what about Samuel that did that? That was Samuel.
Samuel.
Yeah. He was the one that slept in the Holy of Holies in Samuel. He said, never a word fell to the ground. Yeah, it was Samuel. That's okay. I know. I thought it was two for a minute, and then it kicked on me. But that's okay. But Samuel never had a problem. He slept in the Holy of Holies. All that's saying was he knew from the time he started, he was hooked up. He could hear God's voice. He didn't know what it was yet, but he heard it. He was hooked up from the beginning. And doesn't it say that you were chosen in him before the foundation of the world? This is not something that you, okay, I'm going to figure this thing out and I'm going to be a child of God. I'm going to be a chosen child of God. No, come on. We don't have that liberty to do those things. This is something God made a choice. You were chosen before the foundation of the world. He said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. Not an option, is it? It's all about him, what he wants.
What does it say, like the fear of the Lord is the
beginning of wisdom? Sure it does.
Respect God and get their thought processes lined up with him.
What can you do wrong?
He's gonna do the apple of his eye right there whenever you're thinking just like him. He's like,
what did John say about
it? Turn it all over to him. You have whatever you want as long as you're thinking like I am.
1 John 3, those that are born of God cannot sin. Cannot, it's impossible. Because he lives in them, his spirit, it remains in them.
Well, not that, that produces... Well, of course that produces the faith right there, because you don't have any doubt. I mean, it's just like you're thinking the way he's thinking.
The way he thinks.
Yeah. It's like, of course, you know. There ain't no doubt in that.
When I'm 30 now?
Yes.
The light of the eyes gladdens the mind, and a good report makes the bones fat. Or makes them strong or prosperous or healthy. When your eyes are opened up, your mind gets glad. Makes sense, don't it? Verse 31. The ear that hears with the intent to respond to the correction or discipline of life abides permanently. And that word permanently is there. So it should say abides permanently among the wise. Ooh, did you hear that? I like that one. The ear that hears, the word shama, hears with the intent to respond positively to the correction or discipline of life abides permanently among the wise. That means you ain't going back to being stupid, right? Once you know the truth, you can't go back and be ignorant again. Verse 32. He that avoids or dismisses the correction and discipline despises his own soul. But he that hears with the intent to respond to that correction and discipline gets understanding. If you'll receive that correction and discipline, you'll get understanding out of it. You'll understand the point of it. Many people go through correction and discipline with the wrong attitude and they never get the understanding. So they're destined to repeat that over and over and over again, aren't they? Mm-hmm. If you learn the lesson, you don't have to learn it again and again and again. Once you get it, you've got it, right? You don't have to do it again. There's other things to learn. But some people just stay in that same rut going through over and over again because their mind isn't right. Verse 33, the reverence of the Lord is the discipline or correction of wisdom. When you begin to fear God, that's because of the discipline and correction that God has brought to you from the wisdom. And before honor is humility. In other words, what he's saying to you, before honor is humility. Before you can ever be exalted to the throne, you've got to be broken down. You've got to realize who you are and who you're not. And when you're broken down in humility, now God can exalt you into honor. This is just a book of how you do it. If you listen to what God gives you, if you listen to the experiences that He places in your life and pay attention to them, you'll learn something every day of your life. And you know what? You don't have to be going through a time of crisis to learn. If your eyes and ears are open, you can learn from someone else going through it. Just see, which one would be easier?
Watching them.
You betcha. You betcha. I'm telling you, keep your eyes and ears open, and you can live this life, and you can learn these lessons without having to suffer, if you're able to receive that correction, see? But the ones that reject it or dismiss it, they got to go through it. You don't have to go through it if you'll pay attention to what's going on around you. When you see someone else going through it, instead of making fun of them or laughing at them, pay attention to what's going on. See what they're learning, and you can learn at the same time. But you got to pay attention. There's a whole lot of things in this book of Proverbs. It's a wonderful, wonderful book. And if we'll really take a hold of it, we can grow through it.